Greetings and welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church on Kirkpatrick Road in Burlington, North Carolina. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. If you'd like to correspond with Pastor Barkman and the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. The Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201. Now with today's message from God's Word, here is Pastor Greg Barkman.
We have been examining the words of our Lord in John chapter 16 in the Upper Room Discourse, and particularly verse 16 of this chapter, where he said, "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to the Father." And then a number of statements by Christ and by his disciples follow that, and it leads up to verse 23, which is a verse that talks about prayer. "And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you," or "he will give it you." And there is actually a connection between the statement of verse 16 and the one of verse 23, though when I read them like that, one after the other, they don't seem to be related in any kind of apparent way. But now back to verse 16. "A little while, and ye shall not see me, and again a little while, and ye shall see me, because I go to my Father." And we have spent the time examining the intervening verses, or I should say the succeeding verses, the ones that come after that. We've come to realize that he's not talking here about his departure to heaven coupled with the second coming. "You will not see me, you will see me." But rather he's talking about his crucifixion and resurrection. At his crucifixion, they will not see him. At his resurrection, they will see him. Plus, this is coupled together with his departure to heaven and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost with a new presence, a new multiplication of his power in a way that has not been utilized prior to the cross and the ascension back to heaven. And this is what explains verse 16. "A little while, and ye shall not see me," crucifixion, burial. "And again a little while, and ye shall see me," resurrection. But the last part of the verse, "because I go to my Father," the sending of the Holy Spirit, and the spiritual perception of Christ because of the presence and ministry of the Holy Spirit. They will see Christ in a new way, which turns out to be a fuller way. A way that is not dependent upon the physical senses to see him, to hear him, to touch him, but rather upon spiritual senses to see him, to hear him, to know his presence, to touch him in that way. And so it really blends together the crucifixion, the resurrection, the ascension of Christ and the sending of the Holy Spirit into one extended event. Now that brings us up to verses 23 and 24, the verses about prayer. And we'll take those up now. But first let me pause and welcome you to this Monday, March 24 edition of the Beacon Broadcast. And let me thank those whose gifts help us with the financial cost of maintaining this program on this station. Okay, back to the prayer verses. John 16, 23 and 24. "And in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you," or "give it you." I keep saying "give it to you," but it's "give it you." "Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." Now, we could capitalize on that last statement, "ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full," and we could talk about prayer as being the key to Christian joy. And I don't think that would be an inappropriate statement, would it? But now, what are we talking about here? Well, Christ is talking about prayer based upon a saving relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the only way that we can properly pray. And so he says, Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. And then ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now what does he mean by that? Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name. Well, it's based upon the first part of verse 23. And in that day ye shall ask me nothing. In that day. What day? The day of Christ's return to heaven, his ascension, and his sending the Holy Spirit. In that day you shall ask me nothing. Why? Because your understanding will be full. We will not say complete, but it will be full. Remember, it all ties together. And back in verse 12, he said, I have yet many things to say unto you, but you cannot bear them now. Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come. Christ had promised that when the Holy Spirit came, he was going to give them a new fullness of understanding. So when he says in verse 23, in that day you shall ask me nothing, what he's saying is, you won't ask me the kinds of questions that you have been asking me, because when the Holy Spirit comes, you will understand these things. Now you have to realize that there had been a number of questions recorded in the course of this Upper Room Discourse that spans over several chapters, beginning with chapter 13 of John and concludes in chapter 16. But notice, for example, in John 13, 6 and 7. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Simon saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. Don't you see the same emphasis here? You don't understand what I'm doing now. Even when I do it and explain it to you in parts, you're still not going to fully understand what I do now. But you shall know hereafter. When? Well, when the Holy Spirit comes and makes everything plain. When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will lead you into all truth. Then you will understand. Then you won't have to ask questions like this. Or how about the question of Thomas in John 14:5? Thomas saith unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? His response to what Christ said about his going away, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself. Well, he asked this question. We know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Well, that kind of question was a pre-cross, pre-Holy Spirit type of question. But when he, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. And you won't be asking questions like that in that day. Verse 8 of chapter 14. Philip saith unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. And Jesus said unto him, Have I been so long time with you, and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, Show us the Father? Again, a question, a query that would not happen once the Holy Spirit came and guided them into fullness of truth. And even the question of Judas in chapter 14, verse 22. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, by the way, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? How are you going to do that? And of course, the way he was going to do it was by the coming of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit comes to the disciples of Christ. He does not illumine the world in the way that he illuminates the disciples of Christ. And so all of these questions would be plain enough in that day. And so when Jesus says in John 16:23, and in that day ye shall ask me nothing, what he's saying is, you will have no more questions of the kind that you've been posing, because you won't be mystified anymore. You won't be lacking in understanding like this. The Holy Spirit coming and dwelling you, illuminating you, leading you into all truth, will bring you to the point that questions like this will not even arise anymore. Your understanding will be full enough that you won't have these kind of questions. And so in that day you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. You won't ask me questions like this, but you will ask me for answers to prayer requests guided by the same Holy Spirit, prayer requests guided by the same fullness of truth that the Holy Spirit will bring. When He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you into all truth. Prayer requests based upon the divine human partnership that will be present in that day. You upon the earth, me in heaven, the Holy Spirit, as it were, bridging the gap between heaven and earth, linking us together in partnership in the work of the gospel, and you will be asking me for things that relate to the advance of the gospel upon the earth, to the work of the gospel that I am forwarding from my position in heaven on the throne of God, and the Holy Spirit is here to energize and superintend upon the earth. And because you are kingdom agents, because you are servants of God, because you are ambassadors of the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to ask me for things which will enhance your ability to proclaim truth and to build the church of God. And I will delight in answering such prayers. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto you have asked nothing in my name because of this lack of understanding, this lack of spiritual perception. You haven't really asked anything in my name because you didn't know what to ask for. You didn't know how to ask. You were in no position to ask. But all of that will be remedied after I have died, been buried, gone back to heaven, and sent the Holy Spirit, who will now endue you with new understanding and power, and then you'll be able to ask properly. Hitherto ye have asked nothing in my name. Ask and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full. Now that, I think, is a proper understanding of this passage and what Christ is teaching His disciples, but there's a lot of application for us. Why are so many of God's people filled with anxiety and sorrow and lack of joy? Well, is it not because our prayer life is defective in a similar way to the disciples' prayer life being defective prior to Pentecost? Because of our inattention to the truth that is found in God's Word, because of our deficiency of understanding, because of our inattention to prayer, because of our minimal communion with Christ, we have some of the same problems that the disciples had prior to Pentecost. Now, the Holy Spirit has been given to remedy those problems. But just because we are believers and the Holy Spirit indwells us doesn't mean that the problems are automatically solved. It just means that they are truly solvable. We have all the resources necessary to solve them, but we've got to utilize the resources God has given. We've got to give attention to truth so that we know how to pray, and we've got to pray. And we've got to understand what prayer is. Prayer personalizes biblical truth. It takes the truth from the Word of God and makes it specific for my life, for my ministry, for my service for the Lord, for my particular place in the kingdom of God, my particular place in the body of Christ. That's what prayer does. It takes the general truths of God's Word and it makes them specific for my situation. And of course, that requires understanding. Have you ever thought of prayer in that way? Well, when you do, when you understand prayer that way and pray in that way, then your joy, like the disciples, will be full. Until tomorrow at the same time, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you His eternal peace.